coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
He's the head imam of Baghdad. And the guy says, do you have any time? Could we have dinner? And they go to dinner, and he wants to know more about Jesus. He wants to ask more questions.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the back streets of Baghdad to your own backyard, you're listening to the Daily Radio Ministry Journal that's ever focused on what God is doing in the far corners of the globe. This is Compassion Radio. Well, here we are, back at it again on this, the day after Christmas. And indeed, we wish you a very Merry Christmas from our Compassion Radio family to yours. Today, we pick up on a conversation that actually started last week right here on the program. And as the story often goes, we just had too much good material that we weren't able to fit in on the first go-round. So we're grateful to have that chance today as we welcome back a good friend and, shall we say, a seasoned broadcaster extraordinaire to our microphones, Charles Morris of Haven Today Ministries. Here's Bram Floria to get us started.
Back on Compassion Radio is our friend Charles Morris from Haven Today. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Bram. It's good to be on with you today, and blessings to you and blessings to everyone that's listening today.
We've got a lot of very motivated people. We're coming up on the end of the year. The giving's coming in for both of our ministries as people want to make sure that their year-end giving counts. They get the tax benefits, of course, of any large gifts. But more importantly than that, we're wrapping up some very important ministry opportunities that we've been very excited about, we've talked about for years. And you've got a couple of great ones too that really intersect with some of the things that the Compassion Radio listeners really care about. And I want them to know about those things today because they give a new light on people and places that we've prayed for and we've been involved with for years. So we're going to do that today. Now, I just want to say thank you, Charles, for the time we spent talking about legacy and how important it is that we honor the legacy of those who came before us in the ministry. In my case, I'm sitting in Norm Nelson's chair. You're sitting in the chair of Ray Ortland, who is an incredible author, pastor. And together, we're kind of carrying a new banner to a new century, but trying to retain all those values and all of those ethics that made these ministries such a force on Christian radio for so many years. And it's a neat opportunity, and it's an awesome privilege, but it's also got a heaviness at times as we try to honor that legacy as much as possible. And I want to thank you, Charles, for how you spoke to that issue on our last set of programs.
Well, it was just good to be able to talk about that, Bram. And history holds a place, and Christians of all people should be able to look at our past and see the hand of the Lord, just like when we read Scripture and we read of the Exodus or we read of the crucifixion or we read about what we can look forward to as well in the future with the return of our Lord. So it's good. I'm glad we could do that.
One of those trips that I was really intrigued about was your trip to Iraq. Now, I was not expecting that Haven Today would even show much of an interest directly in what was happening in Iraq during the height of the crisis with ISIS. But there you were. You actually took a challenge that came from reading an article about what was happening to the Christian community in Iraq and the surrounding territories. It's something that we've been focused on for about 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you went right to the very heart of it. You weren't reporting from the shoulders in Beirut or in Jerusalem. You went to the heart of ISIS territories and talked to the Christians that remained in those areas. I want you to lead me through how God brought you to that decision to go, how you went, and what you found when you got there.
Well, it was losing sleep, and it wasn't just for me. But I guess I should back up just a little bit. It actually was the New York Times. As you know, Bram, my background was a secular journalist. I was bureau chief for the old United Press International, UPI.
Uh-huh.
I don't buy into the fake news so much,
No. But
I also don't take political stands either. And I know that most of the national and international media would be more liberal than most Christians, including myself. But I also know that they are, in their own way, trying to seek truth and report truth. Well, I read an article in the New York Times I'm sure the writer was not a Christian, but the article raised the question, is Christianity dead or dying in the Middle East? And of course, by that, where Christianity was born was in the ancient Near East. So I read the article, and I shared that with our team at Haven Today, and a few of us just couldn't sleep for several nights. This is just when ISIS began spreading itself across Syria, Raqqa, and then it moved on in. And they overtook Mosul. They were taking large swaths of Iraq. And so I couldn't get it off my mind, and I felt like I just needed to go there, and I needed to do something about it. Unlike Compassion Radio, I had never been to Iraq, but our ministry had a history of helping other people. So the bottom line was, I looked around for what Christian organization is doing the most on the ground in Iraq, and it just started a journey. I've been to Iraq 3 times now, and wrote a book. Wow. And essentially what I discovered was what a fellow told me in an evangelist. Been an evangelist for 40 years, an Arab Christian. He had to go to London to meet the Lord as he was running away from his Arab Christian family back in Jordan. But he told me over breakfast one morning in Amman, Jordan, that this is the golden age of Islam. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, there have been more Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ over the last few years than in the prior 1,400 years combined of Muslim history. And I thought, that is really interesting.
Now, Charles, when you talk about a golden age of Islam, that's a nice twist on it, because obviously people think, oh, it's the golden age of Islam because Islam is expanding.
Right, right.
The truth is, Christianity, Christ himself, is expanding into the very territory, into the very heart of Islam today.
Yes, and it's happening primarily. People have visions and dreams, but then they want to get a hold of a Bible. And this is, you know, Bram, is a part of the world where Bibles are not easy to come by.
No, they're not.
Your life is in jeopardy in many places if you do openly read a Bible. And yet there is this strong desire to read a Bible. They read the Bible, and then all of a sudden, here's this person that they're reading about in the scriptures that showed up in a dream or a vision or whatever. And then it takes on a bit more of a Western regeneration experience, realizing they're a sinner, realizing that Christ died on the cross for their sins, something that the Quran does not teach, that he rose again from the dead, and the body was not taken and hidden, that he's coming back again. And then it takes on more of a biblical root to it, but it starts with the Spirit of the living God showing up in a dream. And Muslims, of course, are big on dreams, and I think God is just using that. So that's how the Lord put this in my heart, and what I discovered in my search was that the Christian Relief Agency, Samaritan's Purse, was the most active in the country of Iraq, not in Syria, not in Jordan, but they were in Iraq. And I called them up, and the first time went over with a videographer who's part of our team, and the country director just drove us around. He took a whole week with us, and that was the beginning of my seeing just how the Lord really is on the move. And we don't hear about it because the secular media, other than that article I mentioned, the secular media isn't going to go out and be doing a lot of articles or a lot of stories on the rebirth or the relaunching of Christianity where it was born.
There's not a lot of motivation or incentive to go preach to the unwashed masses in the West about how Christ is coming alive for people in other places of the world. So there is kind of a cloak over that kind of reporting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's intentional. I do think it's a spiritual condition where these things really do challenge preconceptions of a materialistic worldview. And when you talk about revelation and coming to Christ through visions, which are the story, which is how Christ is choosing to operate in the absence of his own apostles and his own pastors present, he himself preaches the truth through visions.
Hmm.
I wrote an article last week about the Sufi being attacked in the Sinai, the segment of both Sunni and Shia that seem to be targeted by all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though Shia and Sunni own their identity of Sufis within their own religions, claiming that they really are the heart and the passion and the discipline and the devotion of their religion, they're also very, very scared of it. because they know that those people that are committed to actually pursuing God and asking Him to show up are the ones who God is showing up for. Mm-hmm. And when they find out about that, it challenges the authority of the imams that have been driving Wahhabism for the past 200 or 300 years. And they're targeted, just like the Christians and the Yazidis are targeted. So they're being slaughtered left and right throughout all of these areas where ISIS was or is. And it's fascinating to me that they're facing the same kind of persecution that Christians have faced for the past 2,000 years, because we truly do claim that God personally shows up, calls us to Himself, and it challenges the entire worldview and the principalities and powers that rule.
Well, you know, there's the surprise that happens when God's Spirit moves in, Bram. I'm thinking about the preacher who, again, this guy I'm talking about now is a Christian Arab. A little more than a year ago, he was in Baghdad. Mm-hmm. He was doing a series of meetings on who is Jesus. And he was doing them at a Protestant church that still had been allowed to exist in Baghdad, had not been shut down. And this is just the surprise of the Lord. The last night that he was speaking, he was there for, I think it was 4 nights, this man comes up to him afterwards and identifies himself as an imam. He finds out this guy is not just an imam, he's the head imam of Baghdad. And the guy says, do you have any time? Could we have dinner?
Interesting.
And they go to dinner, and he wants to know more about Jesus. He wants to ask more questions. And he says, do you have to leave tomorrow, or are you still here? And this fellow's become a good friend of mine, said, no, I'm here one more day. And he says, well, could you come to my house for lunch? This is almost Zacchaeus talking, only in reverse, you know.
Yeah.
Can you come to my house? I'd like to invite some friends. And he invited several of the other imams in the city of Baghdad, and he wanted to just talk again about who is Jesus. And this friend of mine gave copies of the New Testament to every imam that was there. Now, you know, we're never going to hear about that out in the world. But the fact is, the Lord is on the move in amazing ways in the Middle East right now. And we don't even have time on this program to talk about Iran. But, you know, the largest underground church movement in the world right now is not China. It's Iran.
But China does come into play in this one. We'll talk about that a little bit more later, too.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking about when I did devotions one morning for Samaritan's Purse, and first time there, and I met this young Yazidi woman. Yazidi, that minority people group where they fled to Mount Sinjar, and ISIS was just trying to mow them down because they weren't a people of a book.
Yes, they were.
I'll even call them a strange people group for the Middle East, because many of them have blue eyes and blonde hair, red hair. And I did the devotions, but then I just sensed I needed to talk to this woman there afterwards. She had some questions. We talked. She was in the process of understanding and had never read the Bible till recently. And on my second trip, I saw her again when I did devotions, and 30, 40 people there. And I looked, and in her eyes and in her face, I saw the look of a Christian. Just that, the Holy Spirit just communicating.
The presence of the Spirit.
Yeah. And I said to her after devotions, 9 months later, second trip in, I said, you know him now, don't you? You know Jesus. And this radiant smile came from her face. And all of a sudden, I had a sister in the Lord in Dirkuk, in the northeast corner of Iraq. And it was just
awesome.
Wonderful. Amazing.
Now, Charles, I've had that experience, too, of being on site, and you walk through the crowd. You're in a foreign culture to you, but you're asking the Spirit of God, give you some direction. Help me understand where these people are. And something happens when you see the eyes of someone who knows Jesus personally. There's a quickening of spirit that says, that's one of them. You just know it. I can't even explain how you sense that, but it's there, as if God's pinging your ear and something in your brain saying, pay attention to this one. That one's mine.
I trust you're enjoying this compelling conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment. But first, a word from Cher Nelson on the impact that you and I can make on our annual year-end Operation God's Word Bibles for China campaign for new believers in China.
We know, we've had statistic after statistic about this, that for every Bible that is received into the hands of a believer who's asking for it in China, at least five other people will come to Christ through the gift of that Bible. Now, this is because any person who gets it will share immediately with their family and with their relatives and with their neighbors, and the Bible will be read to a number of people. You want everybody to hear this good news that you are now able to read. So, in effect, the number of $6 that you give that provide a Bible will determine how many souls may enter the kingdom because of you. So you are, in effect, being an evangelist, and the number of people who receive Christ as a result of the Bible or Bibles that you contribute will be directly connected to you.
What a way to make an impact. Friend, you have the opportunity to make that kind of impact on the life of a fellow brother or sister in China who want nothing more than their own copy of God's Word, the Bible. How many would you like to send in these closing days of 2017? Norm Nelson used to offer a suggestion of perhaps sending five Bibles for every Bible that you own. Give us a call today at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or write to us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to our program.
No, you're right. You're so right. I can't go into great detail of this, but I spent half a day with the head of the Yazidis. He just asked me to sit on his couch in his palace, and all these dignitaries were coming in, the United Nations representatives from various countries. But this man of this country, people group, they're not really a country, but a people group,
right.
He wanted to know more about the gospel. And they're a people of no book. That's why Muslims hate the Yazidis. They're a small minority group. ISIS captured so many of their young women and took them off. That was genocide. They wanted to kill off this people group. And here their very own leader was interested in the gospel. He invited me to their holy temple, and I think it must have been about 1,500 years old. I was very nervous about it. And finally, he said, "Now, I know you're a pastor, you're on the radio, you don't have to come in, but you're welcome. I'd be happy to show you our ancient temple." And then I realized, as I wondered, what the Apostle Paul would have done. And I did go in, and I said to him, "As long as I don't need to do any of the acts, the ritual that are part, I'd love for you to show me through." And what it meant was we then were able to have a meal together, which is, of course, very important in the Middle East, as you know. It gave another opportunity to just share the gospel. But this revival that I'm talking about is also happening among the Yazidi people group and not just Muslims.
And when you talk about revival, we're talking like a Nineveh-type revival where the truth is being preached and great conviction and drawing toward the cross is happening. I think it's fascinating. My first thought when you mentioned about being invited to the temple of no book, Yazidis are known for that, for being, how in the world do you even worship if you don't have a book? They have a tradition. A few months ago, I was standing on the Agora, looking up at the Areopagus, imagining Paul walking through Athens and looking for a place, a connection with the people, and finding that place where the lambs had laid down and wouldn't come near any particular god, but they would set up a marker, a temple, a place of worship for the unknown god. And of course, that began a whole new series of rational thought about what it means to worship a god you don't know. And that became part of our Christian ethic, how to pursue God when you don't even know where to start. And that's exactly what you're doing with the Yazidis.
I was asking myself the question, why, Lord, did you send me here? Why was I having trouble sleeping? And in hindsight, I think it was because with our listening audience on the program that I serve and the ministry that I lead, I think it was because where we live in the United States of America, we talked about this the last time, I think, the cushiness of being a Christian.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're so into our cushiness, we don't care. And I think God wanted me to show what he's doing in other places.
Yes.
So that I could come back and talk about that, and people could find that God can still do things where I live too, where we don't have a major revival sweeping our country right now, but we can be encouraged, and we can then share what's going on in other places where we live, and God's still at work here too.
We need to wrap up this particular program about Iraq, but first I want to make a mention about the connection between China and the Middle East. You say the big story now is in the Muslim world. I agree with that, because God's penetrating in all kinds of ways. Now, there is one people group, especially, that is making the effort to go to them, even when the West will not, and that is the Chinese Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And they, along with the Koreans, are dedicated to repopulating the gospel through the entire Silk Road, and they've been marching forward. I know the underground, the house church movement of China, has already committed together to be sending at least 100,000 missionaries mm-hmm. back along the Silk Road toward Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it.
Yes.
So that's one of the reasons why we focus at the end of each of our years on the Bibles for China campaign, because we do know that those Bibles end up in the hands of missionaries that go. So that is our direct way of connecting through Compassion Radio with the movement that is reaching to those Muslims. Now, I'm not trying to make a case for having all of our Americans go sit down with Muslims and make friends with them. Mm-hmm. Some of us just can't get past that mental construct of mm-hmm. them being enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even challenging that point. But I am saying that it's important for us to be listening to how God can enable us to reach people who we consider our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And our partners in China are one of those groups. And I'm very proud that we've had a chance to work with them and with the Koreans for many, many years to get the Word of God in the hands of people who do preach it, who do take it, who do go, and are winning souls to Christ the old-fashioned way, face-to-face, person-to-person, in the flesh.
Mm.
And you, Charles, have discovered what we've learned about 30 years ago, the ministry of showing up. When you got to Iraq and you sat down with a Yazidi prince or potentate of some sort, and you actually fellowship with them and were invited directly to the temple, that could only have happened because you went.
Yes.
I'm proud of you for doing that.
Mm.
So tell me what your biggest takeaway was from this whole experience and the repeat trips you've had. What have you learned that's really moved your heart and will shape your ministry going forward?
Well, I alone can't change the world.
Mm.
And, you know, you go and you see people in such great need and you want to make a personal difference.
You do.
And you can make a little bit of a difference. But the big thing going on is to just do whatever you can with the Lord's help, but to see the hand of the Lord doing the mighty work, and to take that back to where you live and to say, God is still in the business of leading people to faith where I live as well.
Amen.
And make yourself available. And he opens doors. He opens opportunities for this to happen.
And as you've highlighted a number of years from Ray Ortland's teaching in the past, make my life a miracle. If we actually ask God to do that, he's going to do it, because the very fact that he inhabits the hearts and the praises and the worship of his people is a miracle. It's God showing up, which is contrary to the materialism in the world around us.
Yes.
So if we want to experience that, we invite him in. So that's my encouragement to our listening audience again, is whatever your situation is, whatever your fear might be, whatever your concerns or worries might be going into the holiday season, into 2018, as a great unknown for you, invite Christ in. If you've known him for years, invite him back in. Maybe it's been a while since he sat down with you in your own drawing room and celebrated the life within you that he's giving you. I don't know what it is. Maybe he just wants to flush out some things that you've been afraid to tell him. But I do encourage you, friends, let the Lord know that you want to be one of his miracles. He'll find a way to use you. I'm sure of that. Charles, thank you again for sharing about your journey forward in your ministry and how Haven Today is evolving in the best way possible as God opens the doors in all directions for you. It's wonderful to have a world view in a ministry, and I'm sure it's invigorating to you. So I want to thank again Charles Morris from Haven Today being with us today to talk about how God's working in Iraq, but more importantly, as he's seen it, how God works in anybody who's willing to open their eyes and hearts to where God is working and the people he is serving directly. It changes you. Charles, thank you for being with us on Compassion Radio.
Bram, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
Let's talk real soon about what happened and what is going to be happening much more close to home, but still internationally. Would you come back and talk with us about what's happening in Cuba?
I'd be happy to.
All right, we'll do that next time on Compassion Radio. Thanks again.
We'll be sure to pick up the conversation between Bram Floria and our special guest, Charles Morris, on tomorrow's Compassion Radio. Don't miss the conclusion. For your gift of $25 or more to our God's Word for China project as we close out 2017, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Whether you hang it on your Christmas tree or find another special place to display this unique piece of art, any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. We wish you the very best this Christmas season, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.